Wish your buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man.
Good morning.
Could still work.
Yeah, we ought to let that play a little bit. But we won't. We'll jump in. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, September 25th, 2020. On the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I think we'll mix it up a little bit today. Run the gamut of emotions, probably. Things are, in simple terms, we are literally being tortured. You know, everyone's being tortured. Some of us have noticed, you know, for months, Rhonda in Missouri sent me this video titled Lockdown Torture of the Elderly, and it's heartbreaking. And some of us have experienced this firsthand. I've heard stories secondhand, and others of us have observed this. I mean, this has been mainstream news ongoing, sort of intermittently, that I still don't understand how folks like Andrew Cuomo in particular have not been brought up on murder charges. Because when you're directly responsible for the death of, you know, thousands of people, and I think it's pretty obvious that it's a thinly veiled euthanasia operation. As the person who made the video points out, the video has a few words at the beginning before it plays. It reads, "It is beyond any reasonable doubt now that the COVID virus," and this was published 2 days ago, "it is beyond any reasonable doubt now that the COVID virus is no more dangerous than seasonal flu, and that the lockdown has led to more deaths than the virus, including the torture and death of the most vulnerable, our dear and loved ones." And this is definitely part of the travesty that's taking place. And, you know, I mentioned Aaron Dyke's lament. I called it the Gordian knot. Withdrawing your consent. Edward Bernays, 1945, The Engineering of Consent. It's been a while. You know? So what is that, 75 years? The Engineering of Consent. It's been going on for quite a while. And again, you know, if there's any big salient takeaway from Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary, The Minds of Men, it's that, in my humble estimation, the drugs that we heard about that the CIA was largely responsible for introducing, but CIA is really just a proxy for a shadowy small interest group that I would say is particularly and notably theosophical in nature. We want to quantify it. You know, Bill Cooper said the mystery schools, you know, people would say, it's the Jews. He would say, it's not the Jews. It's the mysteries. You know, it's these members from different, you know, enclaves of society of these mystery schools and stuff. You know, it's this ancient Babylonian mystery deal. But that really, you know, again, the kind of the epicenter of that, in my estimation, is the theosophical bent. As an interesting point of note, even perhaps, we can find that real fast. You know, I mentioned some of the storytellers, L. Frank Baum. There is a Wikipedia entry for as a basic example. Political interpretations of the Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And under the section titled Alternative Allegory, here's something interesting. Alternative allegory. So other writers have used the same evidence to lead to precisely opposite allegorical interpretations. You know, there are all of these, so political interpretations of the Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and we've talked about some of this, you know, monetary policy, social groups, etc., alternative allegory. Apart from intentional symbolism, scholars have speculated on the sources of Baum's ideas and imagery, the man behind the curtain, blah, 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 blah. Next paragraph. Additional allegories have been developed without claims that they were originally intended by Baum. The text has been treated as a theosophical allegory. Well, that's an interesting thing to write, don't you think, about the Wizard of Oz? Who would have guessed? But you know, back to this issue of torture. It's an interesting thing. You know, I was thinking about, I've mentioned Biderman, Albert D. Biderman, and his Chart of Coercion in particular. But he wrote some interesting things. You know, and, you know, this is something that we have been normalizing for quite some time. You know, one of the big connections recently, you know, Biderman wrote some interesting things. Communist attempts to elicit false confessions from Air Force prisoners of war. So you have guys like Albert Biderman, who was a young Army intelligence guy in World War II, turned, you know, sociologist studying the effects of torture and, you know, these kinds of things, so that now, you know, we fast forward and we're told this is where we got, you know, SEER training, for example, survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. And I've talked about how Martin Seligman was recruited through Mitchell Jessen in Spokane, a CIA front, or what do you call it? Apparatchik or something like that, to train guys down in Coronado. And basically, you know, the tie-in is that, you know, this stuff that they had been studying for years, and who does that? Who studies? You know, like I have mentioned the study about Seligman, who, you know, the way the story went, well, he and his colleague at University of Pennsylvania were, you know, studying behavior. They were doing behavioral studies, and they just happened upon learned helplessness theory. That's what they said. We happened upon it by randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs, which was, you know, decades into the hardcore research on behavior modification. And so it turns out Seligman's work built on the work of Biderman and all these other guys. So who does that? You know, how can we study torture and brainwashing and mind control and, you know, systematic desensitization and, you know, all these kinds of, from that to the, you know, those would be more in the hard power department to, you know, the soft power department of, you know, systematic desensitization, flooding, observational learning, classical conditioning, maybe a little more forceful, you know, you get to some kind of middle ground, and smart power is kind of operant conditioning, you know? How do we do that? I mean, how do you study that kind of stuff? So these are, I think it's sick people that do this kind of stuff. And now you can even go to the Wikipedia entry for Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Even on Wikipedia, you know, it talks about some of this. Operating procedures. A manual called Camp Delta Standard Operating Procedure, SOP, dated 28 February 2003 and designated unclassified for official use only, was published on WikiLeaks. This is, and so the, you know, the point of saying that the main takeaway from the Minds of Men was that the drug culture became a modified limited hangout and the technology is the larger concern, is that this has always been in view, that it was a militarized, you know, agenda to figure out really systematically, you know, study systematically how to mind control people. And torture is an instrumental part of that. And you know, Aldous Huxley told us that in 1962. Basically, you could get people to love a state of hell on earth, and, you know, they would defend it. And it includes torture. I've said for years, I mean, if you listen to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that since, I don't know, about 2013, I've been saying, you know, can we just be honest? Can we just call it torture? People everywhere in this country are tortured. But speaking of torture and the, you know, euthanasia of the elderly, of the unwanted by some, folks like Bill Gates, people that we should be revering and gathering around their feet to hear the stories and the things that we shouldn't lose, you know, history, all the lessons of history. There is another element that I think is overlooked, because these people cannot speak for themselves the way that, you know, some can once they're older. It's the youth, it's the young people, it's children. Children are being tortured too, and I've talked about that. But I keep thinking about that study. Remember the study, the Harvard Center on the Developing Child study, working paper 9? Persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children's learning and development. And so you look at these things, and then you compare that to Biderman's chart of coercion. And basically what is being induced is a long-term state of persistent fear and anxiety. For what purpose? Because none of this crap that we're being fed is legitimate. It's patently obvious. Anybody with any sense of autonomy to be able to stand apart from the nonsense at this point, you know, as folks like Dietrich Bonhoeffer might have put it, is able to see it's nonsense. And you got Gregory Bateson's double bind in full effect, you know, where you're trying to honor these competing, disparate ideas. What does all of that do? We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
My friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back.
Until you use me up.
Everything is kicking into high gear. Back to torture on children in a minute. Torture on everyone. I saw a commercial for fancy Bluetooth-enabled, worldwide web-enabled cochlear implants, which reminds me of Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, Chapter 11, 2029. Cochlear implants, originally used just for the hearing impaired, are now ubiquitous. These implants provide auditory communication in both directions between the human user and the worldwide computing network. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. Is that what we're seeing also, the neural lace that Elon Musk and others talk about? This allows bypassing certain neural regions. Why would you want to do that? For example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, those are interesting regions to single out. And augmenting or replacing these functions, the function of these regions, with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. Are we there yet? We seem to be headed there in this dystopic nightmare. Speaking of the conditioning, you know, I keep wanting to get back to this, the correlation, correlative stuff. Event 201, you know, we heard about flooding the zone. It's also a form of conditioning-based systematic desensitization and habituation to things. You can find, for example, on the Wikipedia entry for flooding, psychological flooding, there's a section titled How It Works on that page. And under that section, you will find this. Flooding, quote unquote, works on the principles of classical conditioning or respondent conditioning, a form of Pavlov's conditional classic conditioning, where patients change their behaviors to avoid negative stimuli. According to Pavlov, people can learn through association. So if one has a phobia, it is, and this is, you know, this is a psychological binding also, it is because one associates the fear stimulus with a negative outcome. Flooding uses a technique based on Pavlov's classical conditioning that uses exposure. So remember those commercials that we saw, and they're still ongoing, but there was the big flood of commercials for different brands that were basically the same commercial, you know, hashtag apart together, we're all in this together, flooding. Flooding uses a technique based on Pavlov's classical conditioning that uses exposure. There are different forms of exposure, such as imaginal exposure, virtual reality exposure, and in vivo exposure. While systematic desensitization may use these other types of exposure, flooding uses in vivo exposure, actual exposure to the fear stimulus. Patient is confronted with a situation in which the stimulus that provoked the original trauma is present. The psychologist there usually offers very little assistance or reassurance other than to help the patient to use relaxation techniques. Have you seen those commercials, you know, do nothing for, what is it, 15 seconds or something like that? Yeah, relaxation techniques such as a progressive muscle relaxation are common in these kinds of classical conditioning procedures. I'm sure it's all just a convenient coincidence. The theory is that the adrenaline or fear response has a time limit, so a person should eventually have to calm down and realize that their phobia is unwarranted. And then the situation gets normalized or habitualized, and basically you have habitualized the resultant conditions. Flooding can be done through the use of virtual reality and has been shown to be fairly effective in patients with flight phobia. Psychiatrist Joseph Wolpe, 1973, carried out an experiment which demonstrated flooding. He took a girl who was scared of cars and drove her around for hours. Initially, the girl was panicky, but she eventually calmed down when she realized that her situation was safe. From then on, she associated a sense of ease with cars. Psychologist Aletha Salter used flooding successfully with a five-month-old infant who showed symptoms of post-traumatic stress following surgery, which reminds me of it's sort of an updated version of John B. Watson's Little Albert experiment back in 1920. You know, sick people do these kinds of things. Well, we're just trying to help them, you know, be well. Really? Well, then how come it seems that you, everything you do has a direction or a momentum in the direction of trying to mess with people? There is a lot more to this, and we've talked about this over the years generally, but the specifics are very sinister and diabolical. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an engine cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Okay, so a little bit on the sinister and diabolical for a moment, and then we'll go to the phones. So as a reminder, first by way of reminder, Bernays, Propaganda, 1928. For those who don't know, nephew of Sigmund Freud, wired Freud's pleasure principle and the dark, you know, latent whatever hidden in the mind, together with Madison Avenue marketing, but also quite a bit more. And, you know, so this propaganda is actually essential to mass psychology or social engineering, psychological manipulation, that kind of thing. And then, you know, 20 years later, after Propaganda was published in 1928, Bernays formalizes a collection of writings in what is known as the Engineering of Consent, which is a little more, you know, it's a condensed, more forthright version of the same thing, I would say. The Engineering of Consent is what Propaganda is all about, is what all of this stuff is all about. And is very sinister and diabolical in ways that people don't realize. Have you noticed? I mean, I've talked for years about how Alan Watt has told us about the Orwellian linguistic minimalism that is gripping our society. It has been for years. My mom, I think she still has, I remember, if she doesn't, I remember seeing her papers from school, diagramming sentences. We haven't diagrammed sentences in generations now. Decades and decades. Diagramming a sentence. Yeah, so you can understand how language works. We're all concerned about STEM, science, technology, whatever, math, you know, blah, blah, blah. What about how communication works? Because the same logic that applies to coding applies to communication, applies to music, applies to life, generally. But that's one of those general fields of knowledge that we don't get anymore. And speaking of that, here's a book. It was my father's book titled Formulas, Methods, Tips, and Data for Home and Workshop at Popular Science and Harper and Row. And, you know, this is the kind of general knowledge. I mean, with this book, you can do all kinds of things. You can fix all kinds of things. You don't need, you know, some specific kind of thing like we need now. You know, it's just incredible how difficult it is to fix or work on anything because people don't know generally how things work. So communication is one of those things where there is logic and there is structure, or there should be anyway. And Bernays wrote in Propaganda, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism, who hired Bernays, by the way, of society, constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we've never heard of. And he wasn't guessing, as we've discussed on this broadcast. He was hired by these folks to do these things. And so after decades and generations of study, building upon, you know, previous, this is kind of like the Tower of Babel. You know, the manipulation of one's fellow man is the Tower of Babel they've been building, so to speak. So Bernays wrote, as we've discussed, the systematic study of mass psychology revealed to students the potentialities of invisible government of society by manipulation of the motives which actuate man in the group. And he wrote, so the question naturally arose. If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? So then, you know, skipping back to Orwellian linguistic minimalism, which among other things prevents people from communicating danger to one another. One can't send the signal, one cannot receive the signal, therefore, you know, communication is broken. Not to mention, if you can confuse their language, imagine if you could create a situation where, like in Genesis 11, you create, you know, a hieroglyphic sort of structure where people see symbols and things, and they are conditioned and socially engineered to only understand and interpolate those symbols for meaning, but they can't communicate with one another because language has been scrambled, sort of turning Genesis 11 on its head. You know, if you're the devil, that would be a very fiendish and diabolical thing to do. So, you know, with that in mind, if you go to the Wikipedia entry for Double Bind, Gregory Bateson's concept, Double Bind theory was first described by Gregory Bateson and his colleagues in the 1950s. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Does this sound like the general direction of America in your lifetime? So under the section titled History, it reads the term double bind was first used by anthropologist Gregory Bateson and his colleagues, including Don D. Jackson, Jay Haley, and John H. Weakland in the mid-1950s in their discussions on complexity of communication in relation to schizophrenia. Remember the conversations that we've had on this broadcast about schizophrenia. People call it, you know, cognitive dissonance. And as I have said in the past, that's a sexy term for schizophrenia. I don't think we should call it cognitive dissonance anymore. I think we should call it schizophrenia. But there's also the reminder from James, Book of James, chapter 1. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubt, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, speaking of the doubt, that's part of the torture with which we're tortured today. Sowing these seeds of fear and doubt and anxiety. Continuing, you must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you want to create instability, if you want to sow seeds of chaos throughout the world, this is a great way to do it. This is part of why I call this the anti-biblical modus operandi. So, the term double bind was first used by Gregory Bateson and colleagues in their discussions in the mid-1950s on the complexity of communication in relation to schizophrenia. Bateson made clear that such complexities are common in normal circumstances, especially in play, humor, poetry, ritual, and fiction, quote-unquote. See logical types below. Exactly. There's logic involved in communication. Their findings indicated that the tangles in communication, often diagnosed as schizophrenia, are not necessarily the result of an organic brain dysfunction. What does that mean? Again, their findings indicated that the tangles in communication, often diagnosed as schizophrenia, are not necessarily the result of an organic brain dysfunction. What does that mean? From outside the brain, an impetus outside, which reminds me of the Rees Committee and Thomas McNeice's report. Instead, they found that that destructive double binds were a frequent pattern of communication among families of patients, and they proposed that growing up amidst perpetual double binds could lead to learned patterns of confusion in thinking and communication. They proposed that growing up amidst perpetual double binds could lead to learned patterns of confusion in thinking and communication. Those last few words, that's it right there. Learned patterns of confusion in thinking and communication. We have double binds all around us, and Bateson and others who studied this later have discussed this. So just quickly, complexity in communication. Human communication is complex, it reads, and context is an essential part of it. The devil knows this. Context is an essential part of communication, which is why the quoting of Psalm 91 out of context to Jesus in the wilderness is a lie, and why Jesus says in John 8 that he is a liar and the father of lies and there's no truth in him. So human communication is complex, and context is an essential part of it. As a momentary aside, have you seen that New York Times commercial? I wonder if I can find that somewhere. Unbelievable. You want to talk about the devil at work. This New York Times commercial is... So this is the field of communication, PR, you know, public relations and so forth. It's a field of study in college, as I've discussed. Now it's a career path. And all it is, really, is the devil's playground to create, perpetuate these kinds of lies and miscommunication. There's a New York Times article or a commercial out that amply illustrates this. The truth is essential. Life needs truth. I think that's it, you know. It's that series, the truth, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, with all of these stupid Orwellian slogans, we are safer when we are informed, you know, which makes, you know, again, speaking of psychological binding, there are attachments that are made, assumptions and associations that the mind makes by nature, because most people have had their critical thinking fragged, you know, through largely through suspension of disbelief and anthropomorphic thematic elements and things like that, that make your critical thought process lazy, if it even exists after the age of 7 or 8 these days. But so context is an essential part of communication. Communication consists of the words said, tone of voice, and body language. It also includes how these relate to what has been said in the past. And incidentally, speaking of this kind of communication, I don't know about you, but watching people on CNN who ask canned questions that are not their own and then sit there like they're in some kind of catatonic state capable only of blinking looks really bizarre to me and unnatural. Continuing, it also includes how these relate to what has been said in the past, what is not said but is implied, how these are modified by other nonverbal cues such as the environment in which it's said, you know, like the pictures and the music. Remember, music is very important. Even Bertrand Russell talked about that, versus set to music and repeatedly intoned. For example, if someone says, I love you, one takes into account who is saying it, his or her tone of voice and body language, and the context in which it is said. Maybe a declaration of passion or a serene reaffirmation, insincere and or manipulative, an implied demand for a response, a joke. Its public or private context may affect its meaning, and so forth. Conflicts in communication are common, and often we ask, what do you mean? Or seek clarification in other ways. This is called metacommunication, communication about the communication. Sometimes asking for clarification is impossible. Communication difficulties in ordinary life often occur when metacommunication and feedback systems are lacking or inadequate. Now, communication difficulties in ordinary life often occur when metacommunication and feedback systems are lacking or inadequate. Can you ask CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, NBC, or so Shepard Smith now at NBC, can you ask Shepard Smith questions about his sincerity and et cetera? Can you ask the New York Times what they mean about and receive a legitimate, credible response? Yeah. Communication difficulties in ordinary life often occur when metacommunication and feedback systems are lacking or inadequate, or there isn't enough time for clarification. And we've been pushed through that chute as well. Double binds can be extremely stressful and become destructive when one is trapped in a dilemma and punished for finding a way out. But making the effort to find the way out of the trap can lead to emotional growth. And I think that's a big sort of salient takeaway. And it's difficult. And the evidence that this is not all by accident is that, speaking of the double binds being extremely stressful and destructive, when you're trapped and punished for finding a way out, in this situation where people are trying to reconcile these double binds that are where they're everywhere right now, you want to honor this, you want to honor that. If you find a way out, that's quickly bricked up. you know, efforts of people to try to find a way through this stuff and in a way that is not completely humiliating and dehumanizing, those efforts are besmirched and quickly, you know, blocked off, basically. So is that an accident? I don't think so. I suppose the last thing I'll say about this, double bind theory is mentioned a lot in child abuse and in domestic abuse, but child abuse, there just a couple other things. Maybe I'll come back to the point of schizophrenia, an induced form of schizophrenia, but we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
The Redfield Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Back. There's much more. We got to get to the phones, though. So I will leave it at this. Under the double bind Wikipedia entry, there's a section titled Girard's Mimetic Double Bind, Rene Girard's Mimetic Double Bind concept, building on this nonsense. So from there's a reference to Girard's Violence in the Sacred. From mimetic desire to the monstrous double. And Girard wrote, far from being restricted to a limited number of pathological cases, as American theoreticians suggest, the double bind, a contradictory double imperative, or rather a whole network of contradictory imperatives, is an extremely common phenomenon. In fact, it is so common that it might be said to form the basis of all human relationships. And I would say that television and movies, music also, but definitely television. I mean, if the medium is the message, then the medium is the double bind. It's double bind theory, and it's creating this kind of tangle in communication, as Bateson put it. So enough about that. To the phones, John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Chris, for taking my call. Before I get to the reason, you mentioned a book, I guess, that your father had. What was the title of that?
It's Formulas, Methods, Tips, and Data for Home and Workshop.
Okay, my father had a book. It was called Fortunes and Formulas, 10,000 mm-hmm. Formulas for Home and Workshop. So it's probably the same book. And as a child, Chris, that's where I learned to tan hides. That's where mm-hmm. I learned to make black powder, although I was not very good at that. You know, there's a lot in that book.
Yeah.
And used to, you could go to the hardware store and buy the ingredients.
Yep.
Or anything you wanted to do, you could go buy it. So yep. Having said that, I'll go to the reason what you did that prompted my call. I, too, have seen the commercial, you know, calm, do nothing for 30 seconds. Okay, what came to mind was the subliminal messaging that was in the screen at the end of the broadcast day in the early 60s, where they're flying the flag and playing the anthem, and
mm-hmm.
the messaging was in the screen, but you couldn't see it. So I would like, I don't know how to go about doing it, but to actually break that down frame by frame and see what the calm, do nothing for 15 seconds, what it says in there, because really to do nothing or think about nothing, it says something to the effect of don't think is one of them. So basically amuse yourself, be without thought. I wonder what's in the screen that we can't see, that our mind comprehends, but we can't mm-hmm. see it. Is there a way to do that in a digital format? I know that...
I'm sure there is.
You could do it with analog.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's listening, I don't know that I'm able to do it. That would be something to see. There's no telling. There's literally
Absolutely.
No telling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I had. I know that I waited a long time to say it, but that's... The danger of calling into your broadcast is it while you're waiting on hold. You provoke so much thought, you forget why you called, and you're going, don't forget. You called, don't forget.
Yeah.
Because, you, man,
welcome
you
to my world. Holy cow. Yeah, I know that feeling well.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
If you want to hang around, hang around. If not, I understand.
Sure.
Thanks, John.
I've got a couple minutes.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.